You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
What's going on? I'm talking right now with Trey from Creeping Death. They are a killer band from Denton, Texas. How are you doing today, man?
Doing all right. Hanging in there.
Yeah, so it's early in the morning, 7:30 here, 9:30 for you. You got a normal day job, or is metal your full-time thing?
I have a day job. I work as a office. I'm basically you asked me too quick. An administrative assistant. I'm basically the office manager at a psychiatric health facility. So schedule appointments, send faxes, just like data entry, just like boring, like, doctor's office stuff. But, yeah, that's what cool. I do when, yeah, they're cool with me touring. One of my family members also works there. And so everyone's cool with it. And they're like hyped on me being in a band. They all think it's really cool. They're always asking, oh, when are you leaving again? So.
You're like, as soon as possible.
Yeah, exactly. And they support me real hard, and they allow me to, work a pretty it's supposed to be full time, but I work pretty part time, obviously, because of touring schedule. But they let me work full time when I'm around town, so thankful for it.
Nice. Well, are you someone who is a homebody, or would you preferably to be out there touring all the time?
I would like to be touring as much as possible, but I also am definitely a homebody. Like, okay. I typically just stay home, kick it. I'm about to move, actually. I'm staying with my parents right now, but I'm about to move to a house with one of my homies here this month. So usually all I do is just kick it at home, play some video games, chill, watch TV. I'll go out occasionally to shows and hang out with homies, but I'm not really too big into like going out to clubs anymore and bars. And I usually just, if I'm going out to a bar or something, it's usually because I'm playing or it's like right next to a venue I'm playing, and I'm just hanging out with a couple of friends or something like that. So yeah, I just kind of like to take it easy. I'm a pretty chill guy for the most part. So
nice. Well, you guys have done a few tours since the world has opened back up. How many times have you guys been out there?
We've done, so our first tour back was with Exhumed, and that was in the fall.
That's who I saw you with, not Exhorter, yeah. Exhumed.
Yeah, yeah. And then we went to, we played with Cattle Decap. We were on that tour with them. Cattle Decap. Who else? Last 10 was on that, Extinction AD and Exhumed was the Enforced and Bewitcher. They were also on that with us. And then this last tour in the spring, we just did was with Carcass and Immolation, which was really insane. That was really great, a really fun tour. So we really,
that's a big boy tour.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We definitely hit. I'm glad we were able to do something every season. We did something in the fall, we did something in the winter, and now we've done something in the spring, and now we have like a super busy summer. So I'm just glad that it's like sort of picking back up again, because it was those you know, few years where we weren't doing anything were just so long and dry and boring. So it feels good to be able to, like, you know, go out and travel and play again and record and write new music and all that and all that good stuff.
You just kind of, you know, hinted at it. So the last couple of years, you know, we're really trying and kind of difficult and taxing. How did you stay sane? How did your band stay busy? And how did you personally stay sane and stay busy?
We were lucky enough that when everything jumped off. So we were actually on tour when everything like stopped. Yeah. We basically cut a tour in half. We were on tour with the Acacia Strain, Fuming Mouth, Chamber, and Rotting Out.
I remember
it was a sweet tour. And then we played a date in Austin. We were going to meet back up with them in a week because we had already played the West Coast with Terror. And we were like, all right, see you in a week. And then everything went shut down. So we were lucky that we were pretty much already home when that happened. We didn't have to drive all the way across the country like all them did. So we were lucky for that, but obviously we were saddled with a bunch of merch debt and all that stuff. So yeah, it was rough definitely in the beginning for sure. Definitely we were lucky to have our own like jam space that we didn't share with anybody, because on the uncertain, like with all the uncertainty, we were like, well, like this has been going on and we were already in a band together, so we're probably like fine, let's just practice. So it was really that for the first couple of weeks, it was like the only thing that any of us did, because obviously our jobs were shut down and everything. So, you know, we would go up to the jam space and write some new music and hang out and just kick it, and that helped a lot. Coming back and moving back in with my family during that time definitely was like a godsend as well, because they helped me out a lot. But I also helped them out a lot. Like it was a very mutual, like, you know, I'm the youngest one in the house, so I end up doing a lot of the more physical stuff and whatnot. And, you know, they were just wonderful. And I love my parents a lot. And my grandma, she lives here with us too. So it was just a really nice, like, bonding experience during that time. We really just kind of stuck together, stuck close, relied on each other. And then keeping in touch with my friends, you know, best we can with group chats, Discord, video games, stuff like that. That's really kind of like how, especially the first 6 to 8 months, really, really went for me to keep me sane anyway. Just a lot of that time was, you know, spent playing video games and hanging out, watching TV, and then also writing, playing guitar, just trying to escape a little bit. And then last year, once everything started to sort of open up a little more, I got a kickboxing membership at a local gym around here. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I just wanted to, like, after being like in the house and, you know, only doing those things I mentioned for so long, I was like, all right, you know, I got my shots, I got my vaccine. So let me just, I got tired. I was just like, all right, I need to exercise. Really the big thing I was like, I got to exercise. So yeah. Tried something new. It was really fun. I fell in love with it. I love it. You know, I still do it. So that's another thing that helped me out a lot. Just, you know, just finding new things to read about and do and try also helped me out during that time a lot too.
So now that you have some training in kickboxing, if we were to go see like the Terror or Acacia Strain, would we see you in the pit doing actual real kickboxing?
No, I entered mosh retirement long time ago, but yeah, I mean, I'm a hardcore kid, so that's what I was just doing back when I was moshing anyway. So
sure. Nice. Okay, man. Well, okay, so that's great, man. I'm glad to hear that, you know, you stayed close to your community. You kind of closed your community, like, or kept it super tight with your family. It's a beautiful thing. And then you know, your band, you guys you guys recorded an EP that came out in 2021.
Yep.
And then are you guys
that material? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Are you guys working on a new one?
Oh yeah. So most of that material was written during that like pandemic time, and so we had a lot of stuff, and we were like, oh well, we don't want to release a LP and not be able to tour about on it. We're unsure about when we're going to be able to tour. So we were like, oh, we also don't want to have like, you know, 3-4 years without, you know, music release. So we were like, all right, we'll put out an EP. We'll pick some of the new songs and then re-record some old songs just to like sort of like have something like kind of out. And that's kind of how the Edge of Existence came about. And we were actually very, very stoked and surprised at the reaction, because I wouldn't say a throwaway. Nothing is like a throwaway. We just like, we love all of those songs and we picked those songs specifically, but we didn't think that it would, the EP, since it was re-records and only three new songs, was going to like get as much reaction as it has. But it's been really sick. People seem to really be stoked on it, which has us hyped for our new LP that we're going to be recording here this month, actually at the end of the month. So we're very hyped. All that stuff was pretty much, well, most of it was, a lot of it was in the same sort of writing session during that time. But also we've also written maybe three-ish more songs since we basically been touring again and stuff. So we got a lot of new stuff on there, and we're hyped to go and record it. Going to be recording in San Diego for like 3 weeks. So going to be nice by the beach and being able to jam and whatnot. So we're very stoked on it. Very excited to record this. Some of our favorite material that we've written so far. We just like to try to, I always tell people that obviously like the band is not the most like original sounding band, which is not, we don't really give a shit about that. We always just want to like try to do something that's different that we as a band haven't done, not necessarily like the world hasn't seen. So we don't really trip about shit like that. But if it is, we do some new stuff that we haven't done on this record. I think it's going to be sick. It's just going to be a lot more of extreme, a lot more of everything. So it's going to be cool. I'm very excited to record it and put it out.
That's awesome. Well, you guys are going to San Diego. So can you tell us who you're recording with? Is that allowed? Or
I don't know. I don't know if that's allowed.
Okay, no worries.
I wouldn't care. I don't care personally, but I don't know if like
don't want to step on anyone's toes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I probably should have asked before. I'd be like, hey, can I start telling people what we're going to record with you, dude? So, yeah. But I'm sure we'll announce it soon if people follow our social media. I'm sure it'll be on there. Or if you follow me personally, or any of us personally, I'm sure we'll post videos and you'll figure it out who it is in like literally like 30 days. So
cool. Well, we'll look forward to it. And then see you guys back out on the road, I'm sure. So you guys are a Texas metal band. So many Texas metal bands have killed it throughout history. But I'm just going to put you on the spot here, man. When I say Texas metal, what's like three or four bands that immediately come to mind?
Power Trip, Iron Age. I mean, I guess you got to throw Pantera and then Mammoth Grinder, Bitter End, Devastation as well. DRI, I guess, technically. I think they're from Austin, originally, like when they first started. So yeah, that's basically like the first, but mainly Power Trip.
Oh yeah.
Iron Age, Bitter End, and Pantera. That's like the first things to pop into my head for sure.
The Iron Age, Power Trip, Bitter End, man, you're speaking to my soul. Those are the bands that like, you know, that's like the new wave of Texas metal, and it was you know, just like such legendary. Of course, RIP Wade and RIP Riley, and man, such crazy losses. Have you been able to see the mural for Riley?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I saw it. I saw it like not too long after his service in 2020. After that was all done, it finished a couple like not too long after that. So pretty much when it was finished, I took a trip out there and checked it out. It's really cool. So it's very nice. Every time I'm in that area, I try to like stop by.
Yeah, it's great, man. Well, you know, so making a swerve a little bit here in the interview, let's keep it a little lighter than that. I'm curious. Gotcha. You're wearing a band t-shirt. What band t-shirt are you wearing?
Oh, this is the Homies in Ozone, Fort Worth, Texas hardcore.
Nice.
Shouts out. yeah, a lot of good hardcore, a lot of good metal, a lot of good punk coming out of Texas in general. Yeah, a lot of my homies are doing a lot of cool things. It's cool.
Scourge, like, I think.
Yeah, Scourge. You know, those are good homies as well from Houston. Skeleton from Austin, and then, you know, there's a band from San Antonio called Future Shock. They're a new band. That's pretty cool. Then there's a band called Tribal Gaze too from East Texas.
Yeah.
That's like a death metal band, and they really rule. And there's just so much stuff. There's like, it's very diverse, and if you just sort of follow
Frozen
one
Soul.
Or two,
yep.
Yeah, Frozen Soul is another one. Combat is another one. If you just sort of follow, you know, one or two of these bands, then inevitably you'll be exposed to a lot of them. Because what I like about Texas is that, like, people will you know, put on for each other and share each other's stuff. And there's not really like, it's like competitive in the sense that we don't want to be like, oh, well, everyone else is like elevated to this level. I don't want to not meet that level. So, like, that's where the competition is at. It's not like competitive in the sense of like, oh, like, this guy has what I want. It's like, we all want to help each other, like, get further. And we all realize that a rising tide, you know, raises all sails. So, you know, if one band starts to rise up and they're sort of helping out and putting on for other bands and wearing their merch and putting them on tours and all this, like, then eventually the whole thing is just a whole cycle. And it's just like, that's been going back in sort of the ethos of like Texas hardcore punk or whatever since probably, like, I want to say, like, since, you know, like we just mentioned Iron Age, like, those were Iron Age, Power Trip, those are the dudes who kind of like instilled that, and it's just kind of like gone on since then. And I feel like now it's to the point where it'll not, that cycle won't like stop.
Yeah,
there'll always be someone else that's like, you can help pull up, and then they'll pull up someone else, and it lends to a good music scene. All of the musicians are extremely talented. We push each other to be better, but we also aren't like to each other, and we're willing to help each other out for the most part. So it's really cool.
Man, that's awesome that you are able to keep it like that in the scene and keep it seen, like, repopulating and lifting each other up. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like, nowhere's perfect. Like, obviously there's, it's not like a utopia. Every once in a while you do hear things and whatnot, but just in general, I would say, from my tours across the country, I would say, like, Texas, it circles the wagons. Like, you might hear something within your thing, but to everyone outside, it's going to be like, we're together and united. So I think that's really cool. Like, so yeah.
Texas metal and hardcore unity. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I brought up your t-shirt, so metal and hardcore t-shirts, you know, we all are probably hoarders of these things. So what was your first band t-shirt when you were a kid?
Oh, that's actually a really good question. My first show stories were pretty lame, because my first shows were like Warped Tour and like metal.
I mean, my first band t-shirt was No Doubt. So, like,
that's sick though. Gwen, shout out Gwen Stefani, you know,
there you go.
I think my first band shirt ever was actually an August Burns Red shirt.
Okay.
It was this ugly ass, like Flappy Birds rip. I don't even know why I got it.
Okay.
I also got, I think this was all at the same Warped Tour, actually. I also got, my best friend's dad, was friends with this band called the Expendables, and they're like a ska-ish sort of, you know, metally punk band kind of thing. And I had a tank top of theirs that they gave me for free, because they were like his homies or whatever. So those were like the first two band things I owned after when I first started going to shows as a teenager.
And then you got to wear them to every show, because they're your only band shirts, right?
Yeah. So it's actually funny. I didn't really get that like etiquette. I would always wear it other places. I went to shows, I would always wear whatever I just kind of had. But when I went, normal clothes. But whenever I went to school or we're going out somewhere, I'm like, I'm gonna wear my band shirt.
Yeah, so
that's kind of how I looked at it. It's kind of funny.
That's funny. Right on, man. Well, shout out to the Flappy Birds ripoff.
Yeah, Jesus. Sheesh. Yeah, that's I'm not. You're not going to find a picture of me in that.
In the like neon monster merch.
Yeah, it was bright. It was like bright red. Like it was bright red with the fucking red angry bird on it. I'm just like, I don't know what I was
thinking. It's very of the time.
Yeah, it was very 2008 or 7 or whatever it was.
Very MySpace. I like it. Okay, man. Well, not to take up all your time today, but let's do this. So if you can show us, if not, just tell us, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
Dude, honestly, I don't have that many scars. I'm like pretty lucky. Okay. I guess I could tell you about some injuries I've had. Like,
let's do it.
I used to play football in high school and middle school, being from Texas, like every kid does.
Yeah.
I was okay at it. I was good enough that I played a decent amount. And of course, when you play a decent amount, you get hit, you know, more often than if you wouldn't. So I've gotten a decent amount of concussions. I used to play receivers. So like I was trying not to get hit, but sometimes they just find you. So I've had some concussions where I like don't remember the game. I woke up. Yeah, the next day, and I had to be like, who won? So I've experienced that. I tore my ACL when I was my first year playing Pee Wee football in Texas. It was like a MCL, it's immediate cruciate ligament. Partial tear of that. Luckily, I didn't need surgery because I was young. They were like, okay, it's going to heal. Just let it, we'll just let it heal. And so that was good. Let's see what else. And then the other really catastrophic injury I had, it was after high school. I got testicular torsion, which is like when the artery in your testicles sort of gets tangled or blocked, and there's nothing you can really do. Like, you can wear tighter compression clothes. A lot of times it happens to athletes, but I was actually not doing anything athletic. I was sitting down playing guitar, actually, and I was recording something with one of my friends, which eventually would become part of the Creeping Death demo. This was like way back in 2013. And I just remember getting this weird feeling like around my groin. And I'm like, this feels like, did I pull something? This is weird. But I decided to keep hanging out, and then just keep getting worse and worse and worse. And then finally, I'm like, yo, I got to drive home. So I drive back to my parents' house because my mom, she's a nurse, or she was an ER nurse for like almost 20 years. So anything medical, I'm like, I need to go there. So I just went straight there. It was like, by the time I got there, I was like crawling into the house. I was in so much pain. Described what was going on, and she immediately knew, like, okay, that's probably testicular torsion. Go to the hospital right now. And they had to give me like straight up emergency surgery. And if I had waited like longer, I would have like lost like part of my like genitals and stuff. Like, it was pretty rough. Like, it was not great. It felt like getting kicked in your balls at the pace of your own pulse, because obviously like your heart beats. Yeah. So it was like every single time my heart would be, it would just be like a kick to the nads, like straight up. And it was it was swollen to the size of like two giant grapefruits. It was horrible. It was like I would not wish that on literally the worst human being on the planet. It was like excruciating. But luckily, we happened to have one of the best urologists in Texas on staff at the hospital. We didn't even know that the dude worked there. It was actually an old friend of my mom's from her other hospital. And he was like, oh, I know you guys. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of you like you were my own kid. And we were like, thank you. And, you know, he saved it. I wasn't in risk of like, I mean, I guess you could die from it if you just sat there for 3 days with it. Like, but I wasn't in danger of like dying or anything, but I could have had some serious, like, you know, reconstruction surgery type thoughts. If he didn't sort of come in at the ninth hour and sort of fix everything. So now everything is good to go. I just have a horrible, horrible.
Can we get a visual update? No, I'm just kidding.
God, no. Yeah, you can check it on my OnlyFans.
There you go, dude. But hey, at least you have a name for your new brutal death metal band, Testicular Torsion.
Oh God, yeah. I That is a memory. I'm gonna let someone else have that.
Okay.
Name.
Okay. I'm sure
that's a memory. I don't want. Yeah, I'll let someone else take the mantle up on that one.
Well, thanks for all the gross memories and all the good visuals. I appreciate it. That is super brutal. I hope I never have to deal with that. Hope I never.
I hope you don't too. Yeah. Every single person with testicles. I hope you never have to deal with that.
Trey from Creeping Death. I hope to see you guys back in Seattle. What's the best way to support you guys?
Go ahead and follow us on our socials at Creeping Death TX.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.